we're going to move on to our next session, where we're going to start talking about the next phases of the .NET framework, and the .NET Core framework in particular, and how that plays out for the communities that are really passionate about .NET. Now, you might have noticed that Scott was joining us on that last session. He's actually going to join us for this one as well. So we'll just have a little bit of tap dancing from me while we switch around the program feeds at the background. But I want to welcome back Scott. I hope you're still there. Excellent.
I'm still here.
And I'm really excited that we've got a couple of people from all around the APAC region to talk to us about their communities. First, we've got Aaron M, and that's not going to get confusing at all as another Aaron on the stream. And we also have Thang joining us from Vietnam. And finally, we have Melissa representing Melbourne, Australia. So we are really going around the APAC region for this one. Welcome, everyone, to the session. Why don't we just do a quick introduction of yourself? Aaron, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. My name is Aaron. I am a software engineer from Bangkok, Thailand. And I am also an organizer of the .NET Conference Thailand 2018 and 2019. Today, I am a representative of the .NET Community Thailand. I'm glad to be here today. Thank you.
And how about yourself, Thang? Whoops, it looks like we might be having someone that's still on mute. Are you still on mute, Thang, or are we having some background audio issues? The joys of doing a live stream. I had this exact same problem yesterday. I accidentally left myself on mute for a session talking to one of my colleagues, and I got a lot of people on Twitter telling me that that's exactly what
we expect
from an online event. There we go. It looks like we've got you back.
Okay, I'm Thang, and actually I'm a senior solution architect in Nasdaq company, the big company in UK. And we have several offices around the world, and one of it in Vietnam. And I'm going in company to control and join into the team to building microservices architect, apply the cloud native Python for our customers. And I am a Microsoft Azure MVP in 2020 as well. And when I have a free time, I spend whole day, whole night on the GitHub to maintain and do the pull request on some of the GitHub repository. And I also organize the microservices group on the Facebook for our Vietnamese community. And that's it for me. And really glad to see all of you today.
Excellent. And Melissa, we actually used to work together at my last job in a consultancy. So what are you doing at the moment down in Melbourne, other than being isolated?
Yeah, so I'm a senior developer for Telstra Purple, which used to be called Redify when Aaron worked there. But I also helped to organize some of the community groups over here in Australia. So I used to live in Perth and organize the DDD Perth there, and now help organize the DDD Melbourne over here and a few other meetup groups.
Excellent. And I'm really excited that we've also got Scott joining us today, because I'm going to say yesterday, but I'm not 100% on time zones. Like, it really messes with my head where we're at with time zones. But within the last kind of 48 hours, there was the announcement of the .NET 5 Preview 4 came out. And with that, a number of new performance improvements. There was some new features. And I'm really excited about the .NET Mobile Platform Application UI, or .NET MAUI, that was announced at the same time. So this is an open question to the community folk that we've got on board. What are some of the things that you're most excited about in terms of the improvements around .NET 5 and this sort of unification that we're seeing of .NET Framework and .NET Core going forward? I'm going to start with Aaron M. Again, it's easy because it's just the name that naturally rolls off the tongue.
Okay. Let me clarify the questions. So in terms of we get the benefit about in terms of community excited about the unify of .NET 5. So that's the thing that we excited about, the performance improvement, because we have the same code base and performance improve a lot, and this benefits us in terms of .NET developer. We will get performance, we have productivity, and we can share the code base to our devices and platform. That was that's what we're really excited about Unify .NET 5.
Yeah. Excellent. Anyone else want to share what they're taking away from the recent .NET announcements and looking at it from the view of the communities that they're working with?
To me, actually, I'm really excited about, a lot of library that .NET build, and at the moment, we don't need to use another open source from another community. We just focus on .NET, like .NET have something like we build some tool for the poly to check the resiliencies of the requests. We have the tool for service discovery, something like Thrive, Dapper, and so lots of things. And at the moment, we hope we don't need to focus on the framework, but on the .NET platforms and the .NET framework standard to run on another platform. Everything is just unified into one place. And actually, that really excited to me. And that helped me a lot to consult and do a join into the team to give the team member and our customer about the using .NET to build the product for their company, and also build some internal tool in our company as well. And that really started to me.
Excellent. So there's so many different languages and platforms, whether it's Node or Go or Rust and Python and et cetera, et cetera. I could probably spend the next 20 odd minutes just listing off platforms that people are looking at. But I'm interested to see what do you think keeps bringing people to these .NET communities, and what keeps yourselves passionate about it? So I'll start with you, Melissa, because when I was working with you at I got to remember it's now Telstra Purple. that's the company now. We would often go in and talk to customers and work with them in a .NET capacity and look at how to help them evolve. So what sorts of things are you seeing are helping customers evolve their applications on the .NET platform?
Well, I think just now with these new announcements that it's, everything is cross-platform, that'll help continue to get us to evolve. So I've worked on a project where we were doing web development in Angular, and then we had an Android app in Android, and then an iOS app in Swift. And then we had a whole set of APIs that were written in .NET Full Framework and .NET Core. So just having it all over the place made it a bit difficult. And so now that we can have everything sort of unified in this one cross-platform place, we'll make it easier for people to pick up and evolve and create applications faster.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a really good place where .NET MAUI is going to fit in going forward. When you're looking at how can we build an application that spans across multiple devices, whether that's mobile devices or desktop applications and things like that, because it's naturally an evolution of the Xamarin Forms project, which has been around for a while, has a lot of good reputation and a lot of good features to it that people really love. Scott, I'm going to throw a question to you about the .NET MAUI platform. Do you want to give us maybe just a quick two-minute rundown for people that haven't had a chance to catch that announcement or the session that you did earlier on in the build event?
Yeah, .NET MAUI it stands for Multi-Application UI, MAUI. And what it's meant to be is if you want to build cross-platform applications using native controls. We all know that you can build cross-platform applications using web tools like Vue, Angular, React, or even .NET Blazor. But sometimes you don't want to do web. You want to have that performance and power of native controls. And so MAUI is all about giving you a single project in Visual Studio or .NET that you can build one project that will deploy to each of those different, Android, iOS, Mac, and Windows. And so that's in a nutshell what it is. It does support both the XAML that Xamarin customers are used to and comfortable with, but it also now has an MVU pattern where you can actually do all your markup in C# as well.
And I really like that approach where it's borrowing on the things that people love about the way that we can do mobile development. You mentioned it brings in the MVU or the model view update pattern to it. So if people want to build their applications in that manner, then they've got that feature available. They don't need to go out and reinvent a wheel themselves or anything like that. I'm going to just massively pivot gears and throw a question over to Thang, because you mentioned something that you've been working with a bit recently, which is the Thay project, or Thay? No, Thay? Yeah. How do I pronounce that correctly? So I'm not overly familiar with it. I've seen a few of the .NET people talking about it from Microsoft, but what is that project, and what are you looking to use it for as an end user?
At the moment, we are building the big product that using the microservices patent for our customer. And in that project, we have found something really hard, because when, you know, you spin up all the application up, and that really hard and complex process. And in last month, when we I see the announcement from Microsoft about Thay project, and that looked like great, because at that time, when we write a YAML file and we can configuration on a project on that, and database connection string and everything into one files, the YAML files, and then you just type one CLI, like type run, and everything just boot up, and now you can ready to develop the development, the application. And that actually make me think that if the Thay build and release to the version 1.0, and maybe that we could, will on a .NET project, we will apply the using the Thay tool, which is that have development a lot. And another cool thing about Thay is you don't need to think about Docker file anymore, and the Helm charts and configuration in the cloud platform, because now with Thay, it will utilize some of the thing on your machine. If you buy to current Kubernetes cluster, and you already log into the Docker registry, and everything is just when you type the CLI, the command on the terminal, like Thay deploy, and everything is just with one command, you can deploy the application to the cloud, just like the Kubernetes cluster, or you can deploy it into the AKS cluster as well. And that's really cool and have a lot on the development and deployment of the application to the cloud. Yeah.
Cool. So Aaron, it sounds really interesting. Oh, yeah, sorry, Scott.
Yeah, I was going to tell you what the name means. The name stands for, let's say you have a bunch of projects. You want to tie them all together.
Yeah.
That's what Thay is about. If you have a bunch of containers or applications, a front end, a back end, a Redis cache, Thay lets you tie all those together into a single instance.
Yeah.
I should have kept my bow tie on that I was wearing at the start of our programming today, because then it would have just all made sense, wouldn't it? Oh well, it was a little bit uncomfortable because I'm not wearing a collared shirt this afternoon, but I should have just persevered, and it would have tied in everything nicely, huh? Tied everything in. Other than just making myself feel like I'm a tremendously funny person on this stream, we should actually get back on topic. This is about .NET. It's not about myself. Another interesting thing that I saw announced as general availability yesterday was the Blazor WebAssembly project. This is something that I've been watching for quite a while. I really like WebAssembly, but as someone who does a lot of JavaScript, it was difficult to work out the best .NET approach. So when Blazor came along, it really fit into that model nicely. But now with it generally available, it opens up a lot more appetite for people to consume it in the community. Where do you think that might fit best in sort of the kinds of projects that you or other people that you know are working on? And I'm going to throw that over to Aaron M.
Yes. For the Blazor WebAssembly, this is one topic technology that we're really excited about. Our community talk about this topic a lot, and they're really waiting for the release of the Blazor WebAssembly. And I think this project has a very bright future. It is a very good option for start with a new project. So for example, we think it fits for the teams, right? That's very good at .NET C#, and they can bring a lot of benefits of .NET technology, C# language feature, and can use it both server and client. And I think it's a good option to use for the new project. And it fits all client size project. that's what we think. It's general purpose project. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's a great opportunity I've seen for customers that might have been building internal applications, maybe traditionally desktop applications, but now they want to be able to modernize those and help move away from, you know, specific versions of the operating system they're tied to, or maybe they've built a web application that's tied to a specific browser because they're able to interrupt more with the hardware. This opens that up a bit more. Now, Melissa, I know that you're a web developer at heart. Is something like WebAssembly a tool that you think is useful with inside of your toolbox as a web developer?
Yeah, so, well, I mainly work with Angular in terms of the front-end framework, but, you know, when I first saw Blazor and saw some demos of it at a conference last year, I was actually really excited about it and interested in picking that up. I haven't yet had a chance to, but I think it's it is a natural transition to go into that Blazor side, especially if you've had that experience with .NET too. So it's, I think it works really well, and it's exciting that, you know, it's now announced as with WebAssembly. And there's a lot of opportunities for us to build on that and take it to new places.
Yeah, I can't wait to see where people are going with it. There's already a massive community following around it. There's a lot of great extensions that people have built, open sourced, and just made available for anyone to consume for applications that they're building. And I've been really excited to watch the evolution of open source with the .NET framework and the .NET platform. I shouldn't say the .NET framework; it's .NET Core is the open source one. I don't want to give mixed messages to people, but the idea of moving .NET being an open source product back when I started was a very foreign concept. Again, I'll put out just a generalized question to everyone around: how do you find your communities are reacting or adapting to the fact that more and more of what we can do with the .NET framework and the .NET platform is open source. Is this something that really excites you? Have any of you had an opportunity to actually contribute to any of the different repositories that make up .NET? I know, Thang, you were mentioning before that you you like doing a lot of open source, and obviously you've been following some of the projects such as Tai.
Yes, I'm create the .NET Core Awesome GitHub and the Linkos.net on the GitHub, and currently I'm make some of the feedback and the pull request to Tai project, and I'm working with the guy in Microsoft, David Powell. And he also give me some of advice to how to run the, a lot of microservices with the using Tive and with the Dapper extension. And that's it for the open source at the moment. And I also give some of about the .NET Core. I also, in the new version, after any release, it have a bug, and we run it, and after we file the bug, and we can easy to go to the GitHub into the .NET Core, and not .NET Core anymore. We go to the .NET, and then we put the issue or the pull request if we want, and that really open, because I think we not think about .NET compared to another language as well, because now .NET, we run Rust platform, and we can run from any devices, and that's open for everyone to contribute. Yeah,
excellent. And I think that's a great point that you have at the end there, is that you're able to get have anyone contribute, whether it's raising a bug and being able to collaborate with the engineers that are working on the platform to help them work through a problem that you're experiencing, a bug that there might be there, and that sort of stuff. Instead of having like email threads back and forth, we can have asynchronous messaging on GitHub, and anyone else that's also experiencing that can find out resolutions that they might be able to follow, or the underlying symptoms that are causing a particular bug and stuff like that. Now, we've talked about containers a couple of times. It's something that Tai is very much integrated with, and the Dapper project to help you orchestrate and manage containers. And something that I did notice in the .NET 5 preview 4 announcement is that is a big push to have a much smaller container footprint. I think this is really exciting because of like the notion of being able to deploy containers and run them and things like that. Having that footprint as small as possible will make it so much more appealing to people that are doing distributed architecture, looking at microservices, things like that. It makes it a lot more of a an easier to set up opportunity. Option. And so that's, for me, that's something that was really exciting about the recent announcements. Now, I have actually had a question come in on the chat system for us, and I'll probably throw this across to Scott because it's around .NET MAUI. And the question is about the future of UWPs with relation to core IT, like with the next evolution of our UI platform. Where does UWP fit into that?
So for UWP, that's Universal Windows Program, for people that don't know what that means. That's a model that came out in the Windows 8 era for building touch type of applications. And there's been lots of questions as we ship .NET Core, when is there going to be a version of UWP that works on top of .NET Core? What we kind of announced, or what the Windows team announced this week, was they announced something called WinUI, WinUI 3. And WinUI 3 is the next generation of UWP, and WinUI 3 will run on top of .NET 5, and it removes a lot of the limitations it used to have with UWP. UWP required you to run kind of in a constrained environment. You had to be compiled AOT, which limited some of the things you could do with .NET, and all those restrictions have been removed. And so it's kind of the next generation of UWP. You kind of asked this to me in the notion of MAUI. We think of WinUI as, if you want to build the best Windows desktop app, that is some of the technology you should be looking at for that. While MAUI is, hey, I want to build an app that might not be the best on all the platforms, but I have one single code base that runs on, you know, 4+ operating systems.
Well, okay, cool. That's good to know, because I know there's a lot of people really passionate about building the best Windows UI experience and understanding, you know, where they put their investments and making sure that that they're working with the right technology for the right problems that they're trying to solve. And that I guess is kind of the message, is that we might have all of these things that are available to us, but you got to work out what is ultimately the problem you're trying to solve and which is the right bit of technology to do that. And maybe you're not doing something that needs a really distributed architecture and microservices and things like that. So time might not be the best tooling that you're going to have to support that. Instead, you might need just a normal ASP.NET Core application to do that. And I think that's a really key thing for people to take away from all the announcements that have happened over Build and happened in the months leading up to this, is make sure you understand what the problem is that you're trying to solve and pick the tools that are going to be right for that. Because not every tool will fit every single problem. And I like making sure that people, you know, think about it that way. You don't have to use the new and shiny just because it's new and shiny. So we're nearly out of time, but I want to ask one final question about the communities that the folks, and I think Scott's a little bit sad that we're nearly out of time because it's coming up to midnight for him and it's been a long couple of weeks, I'm sure. So he's probably like, do I really get to finally go to bed?
Hey, Aaron, I have one more of these 2 hours from now.
Oh, so...
Scott Hansen, yep. And I are doing another one of the Journey to 1.NET at 2:15 my time.
Oh, well, actually, that's a good pitch for anyone that's watching on, particularly those that are starting to come in from our Europe, Middle East, and UK areas. If you want to learn more about the announcements from .NET, from the people themselves that are making sure it's the thing that you want, check that session out. You'll find in the schedule builder. I can't do the maths across three time zones as to what time it's going to be for yourselves. Yeah, you'll definitely be able to look it up yourself. But anyway, any final thoughts that the three of you have around .NET, the way it's evolving, and the passion that your communities have for it? And you can direct those at Scott, because he's ultimately going to take the feedback on board and make sure that that's the direction they're going. So we'll start with Melissa this time.
I just think it's really exciting, all this stuff that is happening with .NET. And, you know, having everything be open source and creating it, you know, across platform. I was actually part of a user group that was two .NET focused user groups merging together just before all the lockdowns started. And we were just brainstorming like how great .NET is and how flexible it is. And it's more than just .NET. Like most of us do, you know, JavaScript development, other things as well. But .NET is really integrated into what we do. So I think it's, yeah, it's really exciting.
Cool. And I'll throw over to Thang.
Yeah. To me, actually, with the .NET now, it's everything is open. And now we reached the really big milestone because now we unify everything into one place so that we can use the .NET for develop the devices, the mobile application, web, and AI and everything. So now we can think to use the .NET to develop the next application.
Excellent. And Aaron, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Sure. Yes, as a representative of the .NET community Thailand, yeah, we are so excited about the Unify of .NET 5 and new feature, the Brazor. And yes, we try to get people here up to date with our local .NET conference. We have it every year and we grow up every year. And we also have .NET community Thailand, which has almost 4,000 people, and we share knowledge, we get people up to date, and we hope everyone enjoy working with the .NET technology. And we also try to encourage people to contribute more open source project and use .NET technology, take a benefit of this, and also apply it with Azure services. Thanks.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for joining onto the stream today. It's been a great pleasure talking to you and hearing about your communities. And for me, I love to be able to show off the communities all around our region, whether you're in Australia, in Vietnam, Thailand, or wherever else you might be in the world. There's so many people doing great things on the .NET platform, and I love hearing about what you're doing. So it was a pleasure to have you all on. And again, thank you, Scott, for not taking a few hours of rest before your next session in the wee hours of your morning. But it's been a pleasure having you on to talk with our guests and to share your insights as well.